I spent a lot of my life just trying to blend into the background because I didn't want to be called out for being different, for being gay. And I was thrown by it, and I remember someone took me aside that day and they said to me, "Dan, your sassiness is not your kryptonite, it's your superpower." I feel that bravery is being able to take a leap of faith in your life and not necessarily knowing how that's going to work out.
Hey, I'm Casey J, and welcome to Young Scots new This Is How I Feel podcast, where we talk to guests who've grown up or live in Scotland about their experiences and how they cope in the world we find ourselves in today. Now, in each episode, we'll tackle a different topic with a brand new guest. And today I'm really excited because we are going to be chatting to Dan Harry about making brave decisions in life. You might know Dan from I Kissed a Boy, the UK's first ever gay dating show. It was so good. Dan is a TV personality and LGBTQ plus activist from our very own Glasgow. As well as starring on I Kissed a Boy, we might discuss that a little bit later on, Dan is an activist for so many fantastic charities, including the Terence Higgins Trust, Stonewall and the Transgender Clinic. Now, Dan is also currently taking part in a groundbreaking HIV vaccine trial as a volunteer. You're amazing.
Oh, thanks, Katie. When you say it like that, it does sound pretty good, doesn't it?
Isn't it weird hearing like all your kind of best bits, like, recited back to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice. Like, I'm super proud of it, you know? Like, I've really tried to focus so much of my energy on doing good stuff and stuff that I'm proud of. So, like, yeah, whenever you describe it back to me, I'm like, that was me. I feel like basically in the last 10 years of my life, like, everything has just been coming at me so fast and I'm just sort of, like, rolling with the punches. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you don't really take a minute to think, like, wow, like, look how far I've came.
Because it's like, on to the next one, on to the next one.
Exactly, and actually, like, I live in London now, but being back in Glasgow here today with you, like, whenever I come home, it gives me a little bit of a minute to be like, wow, like, how much has changed since I was, like, that kid growing up here, mm-hmm. You know?
You have crammed a lot into those 10 years, and actually, let's be real, like, the last year and a half, specifically, as well, has just been wild for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the TV show came out in summer, I believe, which is insane, really, when it's last summer. So it's been out for like 8 months or something mm-hmm. like that. But since like the last couple of years of me being in London and everything that's been happening in my life, it has just been it's been wild. It's been so crazy. But I think like I really try to just seize every opportunity that comes my way. And sometimes taking the path less traveled is actually like really rewarding, and I've found that a lot in my life.
Look at you, inspiring us from the get-go. Goodness me. Now, we start off every episode by asking our guests, how are you feeling today?
I feel really good. I feel in a really positive place. I feel strong. I feel excited for the new year. We've got lots to look forward to. I think the new year brings lots of opportunity, and yeah, I'm ready to see what the world has to throw at me this year.
I'm not ready. Goodness me. Because you've already done so much. Like, you're right. And you have taken your career in such an, without blowing too much smoke, an important direction as well, which is, I would say, relatively uncommon coming off the back of, you know, a dating show.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Because although it was, you know, history making, it was a landmark thing to have the first gay dating show, you know, fundamentally you're in a house with a load of fit boys and you're kind of all
100%. I mean, you're just on like a big gay holiday, really.
Yes,
aren't you?
Exactly.
And I think like that's now my memory of it is very much that it's just I went on a big gay holiday, but the difference is other people go on like pals holidays, but they don't get people coming up to them in the street bringing up what they did on that pals holiday. You know, like, thank God for them.
I'm so pleased that hasn't happened on any of my big gay holidays.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So that's the unusual part is that, yeah, like it was just like this sort of crazy whirlwind experience.
Yeah.
Big gay holiday, which I went on. I mean, it feels like a lifetime ago now. Mm. That really is like a real blur in my memory. Like it was like a month of my life that has now been documented, and like people will always ask me about it. But you're right, like people don't necessarily have that trajectory that I did. And I think like it comes from my background, and to give you some background of like my story, like I grew up in Coatbridge, like a really kind of a kind of small town. My parents had always lived there. They were from there. Their parents were from there. Their parents were from there. It was very much that. There was kind of, everyone has their sort of way, and there's, it's kind of set in their ways. And this is what you do. You go to primary school, you go to high school, you get your job, you marry your girlfriend that you met in high school, you have the kids, and that's kind of how it was. That's how my parents did it, and how everyone did it. Now, I didn't do it that way for various reasons. One, because I didn't want to. But two, because I never really had the luxury to. As a gay man, you don't necessarily have those paths in life that are so easy to take. I mean, for me, I see it as easy, like, because it was hard for me, the path that I did have to take. And for that reason, I really just decided to kind of go off on my own path. And that was why I went into sort of an unconventional degree. So I studied journalism. I believe we studied the same thing, right? So you'll kind of get that as well. Like, I think you probably will agree that whenever you were kind of going into that path, people were like, wait, what's that? Like, well, you're doing that? That's that's unusual. Like, what do you mean? How are you going to get a job in that?
Because people, you know, they sort of go, oh, so do you think you're going to be Emily Maitlis? Or do you think you're going to be on Newsnight? Are you whatever? And I went, I don't really know, you know, but I just know that I like to talk. Totally. And I'm interested in other people.
Totally. But there is that sort of, oh, well, okay, right. So how are you going to make that work?
Uh-huh.
So that in itself is a risk that you have to be prepared to take. And that's what I did. So I did that. And then from there, I went into PR. So that, again, felt like a real sort of leap of faith, because growing up, I'd never met someone who worked in PR before. What's that? Like, it's just something you hear about on TV on Absolutely Fabulous or Ugly Betty or whatever. Yes. You know, you don't necessarily know that as a real job. So I kind of took a jump into that. And from there, I was able to really build and build and build. And that really allowed me to find my individuality and be creative in my work, and introduced me to a whole other world, really, which then allowed me to move to London. And from that point, I was able to just, my whole sort of world was transformed. And that was how I kind of felt the ability, like felt capable of like taking that leap of faith and taking opportunities that I never thought I would be able to, like, for example, going on a TV show and then being able to utilize that to the best of my ability after, you know?
Coming out and using all those skills that you developed to make positive change is a really powerful thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, since coming off of the show, a lot of my time and effort goes into working with those charities and doing the things that I'm really passionate about, the HIV vaccine trial, for example, all those things. But, like, I'm able to do that because I've built up the knowledge and understanding, and those were all things that I really wanted to do anyway, but I never had the platform or sort of opportunity to do until I did the show.
Yeah.
And that's why now I'm like really like clinging on to those opportunities.
Do you remember the moment where you said, yeah, I'm not comfy within these kind of binary structures around me in Coatbridge, the kind of the story that I'm seeing play out with my peers, it ain't for me. I'm going to go and find my own groove outside of these rigid stereotypes that I've grown up
with. Totally. Do you know, that's a really good question. I couldn't necessarily pinpoint the moment. I think I've just always in my life felt like a bit of an outsider, at least until now. I don't necessarily feel like that anymore. But I know that growing up, I felt like an outsider. And I think that would be really relatable to a lot of young people now. Like, they will probably feel like they're an outsider in their lives. But I actually think, like, growing up as an outsider, it's hard at the time, but actually it's a blessing because it gives you so much strength later in life. And that's really what I've found for me, that because I really, like, those years of kind of feeling not quite like a fit in, or
trying to like contort yourself to fit in.
Exactly.
As well.
Trying to almost, well, I spent a lot of my life just trying to blend into the background because I didn't want to be called out for being different, for being gay. You know, there's a lot of things I was hiding from. And I think, like, when that sort of penny dropped, and I think the penny dropped really whenever I was able to leave high school, because at that point I was like, okay, now I have control over my own life. And I really seized that and ran with it. And I think, like, that's what I would encourage any young person who, like, might feel like that as well, to do the same and really look for that moment and opportunity in their life to, like, seize their own individuality. Because for me, it was when I was able to leave high school and be able to forge my own path.
Mm-hmm. you never know how things that you do in your life end up kind of contributing to the person that you'd become down the line. I mean, I suppose you probably knew that you were using the platform of the show to go about and do the things that you're passionate about and kind of, you know, essentially just do a lot of good and help people. But a lot of people do go in there for the clout and things like that as well. To have that kind of knowledge of your own ability to actually make a change is quite a powerful thing. And it's quite a contrast to the wee boy you're describing.
100%. And I think, like, if you were to look at the kind of the kid I was when I was at school to where I am now, like, it's such a crazy, unbelievable transformation. I was so shy. Mm. I was so quiet. I never was, like, I was always the kid at the back of the class trying to blend in and hide. And I really now have got to the point where, like, I will not be that kid anymore that's hiding at the back. Like, I will be front and centre, and I will not let an opportunity pass me by. And I think, like, it's taken me so long to get there, and a lot of, like, looking for my own inner strength. Mm-hmm. But everyone has that, and I really want people to find that within themselves, you know?
Absolutely. And it's wonderful that you flourished so beautifully. But it was a bit of a leap of faith, right? And it took a lot of bravery. So this is what you're a bit of an expert on at this point. Let's just say the face of bravery. Wow.
Love that.
But seriously, there's a lot of, you know, okay, this is quite a scary thing to sign a bit of paper saying you're going to go on the telly, we're going to film your every move.
And have confidence that
that's going to go well. You know, moving your life, uprooting your life from Glasgow to London. But you are a testament to the fact that can pay off.
I feel that bravery is being able to take a leap of faith in your life and not necessarily knowing how that's going to work out, but just using your own sort of inner strength and determination to make things work as best as possible for you. And I think for me, moments where I've really sort of looked to my own inner strength and taken those brave leaps of faith would be, I mean, moving to London on my own, not knowing how that's really going to work out, taking that sort of unconventional career path, and obviously the biggest thing being agreeing to go on a TV show that no one really knows what it's going to look like or be like or how I'm going to come across. Like, that is a big sort of moment of bravery, which I'm very grateful paid off for me.
Yeah, completely. And also, I would argue that the biggest one is agreeing to be a part of a trial for an HIV
right.
vaccine.
Well, actually, of course, and I didn't even necessarily, consider that.
But because you're thinking, well, this is so important,
yeah,
and this is something that I want to be a part of, you know, we'll betide whatever might happen to me in this scenario, but we can go into it later, but that's huge. That's a huge thing to do.
No, you're right, and actually, I don't really necessarily think about it too much like that, but I mean, it is, and people, like, to give you some background on it, essentially it's a HIV vaccine medical trial. So basically we're working to create a vaccine which would be given to HIV negative people, which would make them immune to HIV. So it's really like a huge scientific breakthrough if we can make it work. And
without bogging you down in medical jargon, because I know that, you know, all the information is out there should people want to look for it, and we all should. Would this be... like, would you have to get it regularly, the vaccine topped up, or is it an infinite thing?
In theory, if it was to work the way it's supposed to work, it would be essentially like a one-stop shop.
Amazing. Of
you're given a vaccine and that's you. And like that would mean that we would end new transmissions of HIV forever, which is like really like a crazy thing to comprehend. Mm. But this vaccine that I'm currently being given, meaning I've had 3 doses of this vaccine, it's mm-hmm. never been tested on humans before. I'm one of 5 people who's been given it.
Yeah.
So huge.
Brave.
It's been decades in the making. So it's really exciting. It's a great thing that I'm like to be a part of.
And, you know, we were medically, we've come a long way, and things like PrEP and things like that as well have been so like life-changing for so many people. But this would be
it's really like the biggest, it would be the biggest thing in sexual health really to happen in a long time. And
ever.
Actually, like in general, sexual health is something that I try to really openly talk about as well, mm-hmm. because it's something that's kind of stigmatized, and actually people are impacted by, and we shouldn't be scared to talk about it. And that's something I'm very open about, is my own sexual health and being a part of the HIV vaccine trial and answering any questions about it. And that is something I'm really proud of to be a part of.
And it is quite wild as well. Like, to look back and think about all the people that have, you know, not had access to treatment like this, and in very tangible real time as well. We all know people who have lost loved ones or who have gone through it in relatively recent history. How incredible to be a part of changing that forever.
And actually, that's the exact reason why I'm doing it, is because my biggest motivation is my gratitude towards the previous generations of my community who were most impacted by it, but have the most, we have the most to thank them for. Because really, without them, I wouldn't have the rights that I have today. I wouldn't be able to get married. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that I would not be able to do, like, in this country, if it hadn't been for my community, in the world, if it hadn't been for my community fighting so hard. But they were obviously the ones that were most impacted by HIV.
Terrifyingly recent times as well.
100%, you know. Like I get people all the time who tell me, thank you so much for doing this. I lost my partner to HIV, or my best friend. I wish my best friend could see that you're doing this.
Yeah.
Like really sort of really insane emotional stories, which really like really hit me deeply. And I mean, I never thought that that would be the sort of reaction that I would get just from what I've done, you know, like, but I mean, of course people are like impacted by it.
Absolutely. It's such an amazing and exciting time for everyone, but you're so right, having that sort of self-awareness. And I think, I hate to generalize as well, but it's a thing that a lot of people, when you're like, ah, oh, I was on a dating show on the telly, you're like, oh, okay, so what are you going to get from this? You're going to get brand deals, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. And by all means, I'm sure you'd accept a collab, but but it's just so refreshing as well to, alongside all the lovely things that come with that, that are maybe verging on slightly more superficial, to be able to use that platform to create such a positive impact. I don't think people realize either what we're talking about, you know, that these things were so recent. And I think a lot of people, my friends, really only clocked when It's a Sin came out.
Yep. Yep. And that's a great example of something that people should watch to see what it was really like back then. Yeah, It's a Sin is a great example of that. And the thing with, like, yeah, going on a show and people have a sort of a perception of, like, oh, like someone who goes on reality TV and they're going on there for the brand deals and whatever else. And
because honestly, that's what we're used to.
That's what we're 100%.
And like, it's no shade. Like,
that's a part of it for sure. And like, there's always that aspect of it. I think, like, for me, the whole reason I decided to go on the show in the first place was
No, I'm going to cut you off. I know why.
Tell me.
Danny Minogue.
Well, that was a pretty big part of it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know I'm obsessed with Danny. And
but the real reason. Go on.
So like, Danny, but also to just experience this really, like, once in a lifetime thing that not many people can say they've done. And like I said before, I think, like, for me, I credit so much of the things that I've achieved in my life to seizing the opportunities when they come to me.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times where you could be like scared off by something. And a lot of times I feel really scared by things. I'm like, oh my God, this is outside my comfort zone. Don't know how I feel about that. Going on a show, I don't even know what it is. Like, those moments sometimes are the moments that have the biggest payoff. And that's why, like, I encourage the people in my life to also really seize the opportunities when they come.
Right, well, Dan, we're not all going to get a call up, right, to go on a dating show. Yeah. I have tried Love Island so many times.
You'd be amazing on Love Island.
Thank you so much. They don't agree. Anyway, I'm in a relationship now, so whatever. But I would still go on. But no, what my point is, if I can find it, is that we don't all have these opportunities that are, you know, bright, shiny lights and things like that. But there are instances in everybody's lives where we have a chance to take that leap of faith. Can you think of an example before that's very tangible where you went, oh, I'm just going to do it because everything's telling me to do it?
Yeah, like, I guess, like, being brave can just look like lots of different things. It can even just be going up and introducing yourself to someone in a coffee shop or a bar, or meeting someone new, and that can open up so many doors as well. Yeah. Like, even, like, all my friends in London now, who I've got such an amazing group of people who are like my tribe. They understand me, they get me. I've never felt like that sort of chosen family vibe before.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason I even know them is because I walked into a bar on my own one time in London and met a drag queen who introduced me to all of her friends. And that's honestly how that happened. And it might be scary to walk into a bar or a coffee shop on your own and not necessarily know anyone, but actually you might end up meeting your new best friend.
I was going to say, because it actually weirdly happened to me quite recently. I got a message from a girl and I was sitting next to her in a restaurant, right? And I knew who she was. She knew who I was. We've spoken and stuff on social media. And she messaged me the other day and went, by the way, it was me sitting next to you, but we both just didn't say hi. And yeah. I was like, I kept trying to catch your eye. But, you know, sometimes the anxiety just takes over. We're too awkward. And you know, an opportunity to make a friend passes you by. And actually just looking at your example there, how different your life would have been.
100%. Yeah, exactly. But I guess, like, it comes back to that thing of, yeah, like, bravery and, like, stepping outside your comfort zone can look like so many different things.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not just a case of going on a TV show, because I know that's quite a unique experience for me specifically. However, growing up, it could just be saying hello to that person that you think looks cool and looks like your kind of person.
Yeah.
It could be exploring that degree that you were like, oh, like, everyone's saying, oh, maybe you shouldn't do that. Don't know how you're going to get a job in that, but actually you feel passionate about it, so make it work. You're going to try and make it work. It can look like so many different things.
Yeah. I just love that in this scenario, the person to guide you through life, like a sort of fabulous fairy godmother, is of course a drag queen that you met in a bar in London.
Of course, naturally. Naturally.
It wouldn't be any other way, exactly. Would it? No, it's beautiful.
Exactly.
Clearly these decisions have paid off. But what have you learned about yourself? Because I feel like when we're talking about these examples, there's always been that little spark of like, I know I can do this in you, or else you wouldn't have done half the things you've done.
Yeah.
Has it taught you to trust that feeling and to trust that about yourself?
Yeah. And actually you really did nail it there. I think, like, for me, what I have come to learn and really sort of embrace is trusting my own instinct in life, mm-hmm. and like just trusting myself that I know myself the best and I will make good decisions. And I think in life, I also think growing up gay, I almost grew up a little bit with a bit of a chip on my shoulder, in the sense where I was always trying to prove everyone else wrong. Mm-hmm. That, no, I can do this, or you won't tell me that, or you will not stop me from doing that. And that is really, like, was a fire in my belly to just, like, really, like, grab everything that I could. And I think that's common in a lot of, like, within my community, within the queer community, there is that sort of, like, fire to prove people wrong, because, like, sometimes it feels like the cards are stacked against you.
Have you seen, I mean, obviously I know that you can't transport yourself into your 17-year-old body at this point, but when young people, and I'm sure they do, come up to you and speak about their experiences, is that still universal, or do you think things are getting better a wee bit because of people like yourself?
Well, I don't know if it's because of people like me. I
mean, you've got to give yourself some credit for that. You are the movement.
Yeah, love that. I have heard, like, I have spoken to a lot of people who were like, 17-year-olds, young people who were in school, like, kind of when I came out, I was 17, people in that age range. And to me, it sounds like things are getting a lot better.
Okay.
And that makes me really happy.
Absolutely.
And because I just know that my school years were the hardest years of my life. I don't look back on my school years with any sort of, like, positive nostalgia. It was always just, like, a bit of survival mode for me. Mm. And, like, I think because I, like, went through it so much, that is why I'm in such a, like, I feel so good now. But I just know, like, if 17-year-old me was to see what, like, 27-year-old me was doing now, they'd be like, wow. Like, that was, I could only have, like, dreamed of doing what I do now when I was that age. And I think, like, I'm very proud of that as well, and really proud of that, where I've came. And I guess that's another thing for that I would encourage people to do as well. It's like, those dreams and those aspirations that, like, that sort of, like, teenager might have in school, who's, like, having a hard time, doesn't quite know what they're doing, doesn't feel like they fit in. Actually, those dreams you may have are within your grasp, and they can be achieved. You just need to work for it and keep fighting.
Do you think that you're comfiest outside of, like, the binaries as a general rule? Because this is what I'm saying, like, school is very, like, rigid in its, I mean, it has to be, right? Because we're trying for one size fits all, aren't we? Which always works.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like you just exist in these spaces in between things. That's where you find your groove. And that comes with being out of the kind of establishment, like, shackles or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so. But I think, like, I think people like us, like, people who are those, like, creative people, they sort of live in that sort of outside, on the fringes of, like, the norm. like that is where we flourish the most, and actually that's where I found the most like sanctuary.
Yeah.
And actually that again, like I would encourage people, like you don't need to fit into the normal traditional mold. Like there's so much other things that you can be doing, you know.
And when you look at all the people in your life who exist that way, it's like it's such a beautiful thing, because you're thinking, you know, how long did you try and kind of squash that, you know, just
exactly.
to exist?
And actually, and the thing is with me, like, look, I'm a man, I'm cisgender, and I'm yeah. white, so that like, I already, like, I'm by no means the, yeah. like, I've by no means got it the worst. Like, there's people out there who have a lot harder than me and did growing up as well. And I also really acknowledge that, you know, and I see my friends who are within the trans community, uh-huh. people of colour, and they have, like, they've had it tougher than me, and they've been able to flourish as well. And I love that, and I'm really inspired by those people mm-hmm. as well. And, like there's a lot of struggles out there for those people, but yeah. like it's finding the strength and within that. And actually I'll tell you a story about something that happened quite early on when I was in uni.
Uh-huh.
I remember we were doing a sort of team building exercise within the group. Basically, for every person in the group, you had to write down their superpower and their kryptonite. So, like, their strength and their weakness, right? So, basically, you by the end of the experience, you would have had, like, 30 people will have written 30 things for each one.
Oh, no. See, so oh, they're tapping already into your fears.
Like,
oh, no.
Already, you're like, okay. So, basically, long story short, everyone had various different superpowers for me. But there was 30 of the same words that
Stop.
Had been written. For me, as my kryptonite, meaning my weakness, and it was sassy. That was too sassy, and I remember reading that and thinking, "What does that mean, right? Like, what? How is like what are they trying to say, right?" And all I could really boil that down to was that is to do with my sexuality, because you wouldn't have called anyone else sassy.
So
right?
It's a rogue choice of word for everybody to come up
right?
with, isn't
so
it?
So I was like very, I was just thrown by it. And actually I remember I was quite upset because yeah. I really felt like it was to do with my sexuality mm-hmm. and it was like a sort of...
stereotype?
Yeah, yeah. And I was thrown by it. And I remember someone took me aside that day and they said to me, "Dan, your sassiness is not your kryptonite, it's your superpower. It should have been the other way around." And actually that statement just really stayed with me, and it made me think, yeah, do you know what? Like people might think that's my weakness, but no, I'm going to take that as my strength. Like I will own that.
Basically a whole group of people saying like, you're too confident and you're too self-assured.
Yeah,
and that's an
exactly.
issue.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like I can see that how that'd be an issue for you.
Yeah.
Who sorry, are making the comment. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. yeah.
And if you could go back and talk to yourself in that moment, what advice would you give? Would you just...
Well, that exactly what that you were person given. Said, yeah. I think. And I think like that's what stayed with me. And I remember that now. And I think like that's something I take throughout my life, is actually like my weaknesses. What people consider your weaknesses sometimes can actually be your biggest strength. So that's what I've taken. And guess what? I'm more sassy than ever.
And thank goodness for that.
Thank goodness, exactly.
Now, the past few years have been pretty wild for most people. Given the global context, yours specifically have also been wild for various different reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, shooting to, you know, becoming, you know, certainly in my household, a household name, you know, but like really becoming known.
Yeah.
You know, taking that leap of faith and then all the wonderful opportunities that you've had after it. How have you coped with the kind of pressure of being the new Dan that folk know on the street?
It has its challenges.
Yeah.
It really does. And I like, as you can probably tell, like I care deeply about the way I, like things I say, things I do. Like I want to do good, yeah. right? And like actually that can sometimes backfire on you, because not always like you're being good. Like you can have the best intentions, but it doesn't always work out. And there have been times where I've said the wrong thing and I've done the wrong thing, and that's been really challenging. But actually I've just tried to take that as a learning opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like for example, I did like a, oh God, like thinking about it, it's just cringy, but I did like a swimwear shoot with a magazine, and the premise of like the topic of the interview, the sort of the feature that I was talking about was mm-hmm. about my own body insecurities and the way I feel about my body and things that I've tried to overcome and right. basically body image essentially. But that was a real juxtaposition to the pictures, which was me like lying by a pool mm-hmm. in my swimwear. So people were really confused by that. And actually then when I saw it all come together, I was like, oh God, that was like a real misstep, because actually I should have clocked that that would be seen not quite right.
What was the idea, not that you would feel empowered though? Well, exactly. Did you like the pictures?
Yeah, like exactly.
Yeah, so like surely that's...
I was able to justify it to myself, but it just didn't read that way to everyone else.
But you've
like,
got your PR hat on though, haven't you?
Yeah, I understood my own reasonings and but it just didn't quite come across like that, and for various reasons. But that was just an example of some time where I felt like, oh God, I've kind of put my foot in it. I've not done, I wouldn't have done it like that if I could do it again.
Yes.
And I think like with my new sort of what, like being part of this new world and trying to navigate it, you're not going to get everything right every time, but you just have to try and like learn from every mistake you make and not do the same thing again. And I guess that's how I've approached it, is just try to just do things with the best intentions, except that you might not do it always right the first time. And sort of another kind of thing is like, I hope for the best, but prepare for the worst, you know, like just like always try and have a bit of a backup plan or a plan B for whatever you might be doing. Mm. But go in strong on things.
It's interesting as well, because some of these examples are things that happen when it's out of your hands, right? You're not responsible for what someone wrote alongside an image of you.
Totally.
And waiting for the edit to come through for the show, I'm sure was a very anxious time as well.
So scary, because you have no idea what they're going to use. I mean, we were filming for a month and that gets condensed into 8 episodes of 45 minutes.
And then how long did you wait for it to air?
8 months.
And a secret point, relationships and everything going on.
So by that point, like any sort of, you have a vague memory of what happened. Like you have those sort of milestones of like, well, that happened that day, that happened that day.
Yeah, but
I mean, some like the funniest moments for me were like the sort of moments that are most memorable from my story are actually the moments that I completely forgot had happened. It wasn't until I watched it back, I was like, that is hilarious that that had happened, you know? So you don't really, like a lot of that just blurs into the background and you don't really, like, you just have to wait and see what comes from it. And actually people come up to me and they say, oh, like you did so good in the show, you were great, whatever. I mean, I'm also my biggest self-critic, so I've always got my own sort of opinions on it.
Yeah.
There was lots of things that I wish had been said or done slightly differently, but I get, like you said, like it's out of your control, you just got to try and roll with the punches and make lemonade with what you have.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I did.
It's very mature as well to learn, sort of give yourself that grace and be like, it's okay to get things wrong, so long as I kind of use it to better myself and figure out what I'm doing next.
Yeah, exactly. And I look at things quite objectively in the sense where, like I've worked in PR for so long that like this is just like, I almost try to treat myself like my own client and just like, well, what advice would I give myself if I was my PR client?
Yeah.
And like that's kind of stood me in good stead. Yeah. Like that whole magazine thing, like that was a nightmare, and it went really viral. It was like millions of, like it was literally millions of like messages and tweets, and like it went all over Twitter, all over the world. I was getting messages from people all over the world for weeks and weeks and weeks about that. Magazine thing, and I could have really been upset by it, but I just tried to take it and just do something positive with it, and know not to do something like that again.
Channel it into the next thing as well. It's that, like, you're just kind of getting stronger with all these things that happen. It's like, okay, I've learned from that, now we
move. And also be able to just not really, like, try to see the humor in things and try to just see, like, I'm able to laugh about it with my friends now, you know? Like, I don't, like, let these things weigh on me. Like, I can talk about it freely. Like, it's just something that happened. But, it was a...
But how important is that core unit around you that allow you to take the mick out yourself and do that stuff? Because if you're growing up or if you're going through something right now and you don't have that around you, of course you get introspective. Of course you believe the horrible things that you see. But your tribe, sure, you said your sure. tribe, like, do they keep you right?
Yes, for sure. And I think actually on that topic, like, we're talking so much about bravery and being brave. And again, that comes from a place of privilege for me, because I have the luxury of being brave because I have a really strong network around me. Mm-hmm. I'm able to support myself. There's lots of things meaning that I'm able to do that, which I feel really blessed for. And I would hope that people would be able to find those things for themselves. Yeah. But yes, I credit so much of my where I am today to my tribe, my network, my family, who are so supportive of me. They understand me. They get me. Yeah, like that's such a huge part of my life. And I really see, like, my friends in London is like my chosen family, which yeah. I'm so glad that I found.
They must be really proud of you as well.
Yeah, well, they do take the mick out of me, to be fair.
Perfect. That's exactly what you need. Like, you know they're proud, but they'll tell you how they really feel as well. You've definitely accrued knowledge over the few years that we've kind of got to know you and love you on our screens and whatever else, that would have really benefited a younger Dan. So if you could go back and kind of speak to him as you are now, what advice would you give him? What would you say?
You know, it's hard because I don't really have regrets in my life, and I sort of, everything that's happened in my life has happened the way it was supposed to. And I almost wouldn't want to tell him anything, because I'd want to just let him go through what he has to go through to get to where I am now. Mm-hmm. Because all those different things that I went through, the sort of hardships that I had, any sort of negative experiences I had growing up, like, we're all like, are all testament to where I am now. Like, they gave me so much strength. Like, anyone who ever called me a name in school, like, I would thank them now, because they gave me so much power. And like, I feel really grateful that I'm like where I am, and no one, people can call me whatever they want and it doesn't bother me, you know? But for the purpose of this, let's think what I would say. I think I would say, just trust your gut, you know, because I have, that's what's really guided me in life, is just trusting my gut instinct and taking those leaps of faith in the moments when they were the most important. And yeah, like that's what I credit so much in my life to now, is those moments.
I'm gonna cry. Sassy is your superpower.
Sassy is my superpower. Yeah. Sassy has a superpower.
I think so too. Yeah. This has been great. Thanks to everyone who's tuned in for listening. Now, remember, if you need help or support with how you're feeling, Young Scott has tons of information at young.scott/I feel. That's young.scott/AYE feel. If you want to follow Dan's work, and I think you should, then make sure that you are following him on Instagram and TikTok using Dan Harry PR. Also, don't forget, if you're under 26, then make sure that you get your free Young Scot National Entitlement Card with thousands of discounts in Scotland and across Europe, subsidised public transport, and a whole lot more. Visit young.scot/card for more info. Finally, Young Scot members can claim 100 reward points for listening to this episode just by visiting Young Scot Membership and typing in Brave for your point code. If you're not a member yet, visit young.scot/membership to get started today and earn points for activities and access exciting rewards. So that's it from me. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of This Is How I Feel. Now, if you have, please rate, review and subscribe to us. That means you'll get instant access to the next episode as soon as it drops. Looking forward to next time already. See you then.